we start our calls off with the opening prayer, and then we're going to have our main speaker come on after that. Is Thomas Deegan from West Virginia. He and two other men got together, and they filed their suit slash complaint against the state and various officers or elected officials within the state. So they basically won their case. So,
they sure did. The judge took everything for the truth.
So what we're going to do is Tom is going to tell us how they put their case together, and then tell us about the evidence that they used. And we're putting out a national call for people to turn out in support of them on August 24th. It's probably going to be an all-day affair, but we'll start off at 9 o'clock in the morning. I got that confirmed with Phil Hudock, who is one of the team members on that group. Their third team member is Gene Stallmaker. So Phil has another call going simultaneous to this one, so he's on that one. Tom's with us, and Gene's, I don't know, maybe Gene's barbecuing out back and having a burger off the grill. So anyway, I'll go ahead and start us off in prayer, and then Tom, go ahead and let us know what the West Virginia situation is all about that you guys got going. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for today and for all your blessings to us. And Lord, in these times, Lord, we need your supernatural strength and wisdom. We have so many people working nearly around the clock, Lord God, and it's a tremendous drain on the person's physical well-being and their mental well-being. And Lord, we ask for a special anointing for all those who are involved in the Patriot movement. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Bring us an understanding that goes beyond what we would normally be able to have, because you are in us and indwell us through your Holy Spirit. Lord, we ask for your favor on this call tonight, and just lead us in a greater path and a truer path, and help us to reclaim this country for your honor and glory. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
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 All right,
amen.
Thomas, go ahead and fill us in on what's happening in West Virginia.
Okay, so what we did was we followed the protocol of true law, not statutory, not constitutional, true law, and that is requires us to give notice to those that were harming us and give them an opportunity to cure the harm. We did that initially with the legislature in late February before they left the session. We heard crickets chirping, trying to stay in full compliance with the purported law of America. We followed the First Amendment then and petitioned the other two branches, the executive and the judicial. Once again, crickets chirping. So we decided to go ahead and file a complaint under a writ of quitam, which is a writ that allows us to come in on behalf of all the people of the state and of the king himself. The king of all kings, which allowed us to be a private attorney general without using any statutory authority whatsoever. And we filed suit against the purported governor, the purported attorney general, and the owner of the West Virginia legislature, and we left it open for all unknowns. We did this under the authority of absolute necessity. Because, of course, we can't recognize their fictional venue and jurisdiction and law form. But out of absolute necessity, we had no other place to go. And this was at the end of May. We charged that they were in flagrant willful breach of their contract, flagrant willful constructive fraud, fraud in the factum, fraud in the inducement, breach of oath, violations of the Constitution, 1819, violations of the West Virginia Constitution, violations
Amen.
Of common law, free will choice, natural law, modern-day slavery, and conspiracy of all the aforementioned.
Amen. Beautiful. Beautiful.
We did allow for the fact that any omission does not constitute a waiver, and that we had the right to amend this complaint at any future time we felt we needed to. We brought in facts and self-evident truths from Bastier concerning government and our rights and liberties as granted by the author of all. We incorporated the petitions that we served, because they were not only petitions but affidavits, and by their silence that allowed us to use those as admissions of the 14 points we put forth. We incorporated the Holy Bible. We incorporated the entire 1819 Constitution, the entire 1872 West Virginia Constitution.
Amen.
Incorporated.
Beautiful.
The Declaration of Independence. We incorporated Public Law 97-280. We incorporated each and every petition that we did. We incorporated all affidavits of service. We incorporated the act concerning the rights of American citizens in foreign states, otherwise known as the Expatriation Act. We incorporated the Trading with the Enemy Act of 1917, the Emergency Banking Act of 33. We incorporated the entire 700-page Senate Report 93-549. We incorporated the historic lien against us filed on July 28, 2011. We incorporated federal regulations, Army regulations. We incorporated the Acts for Punishment of Certain Crimes from 1790. And we put forth several biblical scriptures, because we have proven through congressional record that the founding of our country is based upon biblical scriptures, and anything in violation of biblical scriptures cannot be law and is therefore null and void from its inception.
Amen.
We incorporated 6 pages, over 300 maxims of law. Of course, each of the three signatories to this complaint was able to prove at least some small sort of damage from them. Gene was unable to obtain lawful gold and silver coin for his refund. Phil had a problem with biometric and licensing. And, of course, I was kidnapped 3 times without warrant.
Welcome to the
court. We proved our standing. We proved harm. And so there's no reason that this complaint could be dismissed at all.
I heard it can't be.
It can't be. You can't.
Yeah, that's the word I got.
Yeah, as long as there's harm, it can't be within their system.
You gentlemen did one hell of a great job.
We then put forth an affidavit of negative averment, denying that they could do everything that they were doing, and we put it out point by point. It went everything
exactly.
To the police authorities, to the United States Congress declaring us as enemies, to being able to operate private corporations for profit and have them purport to be government, the fact that they're not in compliance with the original Constitution's various points. I'll let you guys read them. We then took the petition and the statements that we made and put them out as facts, because they refused to answer. So there were 14 of them, and they went at the basis of the War Powers Act and the fact that we were enemy combatants, and they were utilizing military jurisdiction on sovereign soil.
Thank you.
We did let them know that the jurisdiction was proper, because they do have jurisdiction as fictions over the other fictions in operation, but that they did not have jurisdiction over us. And we let them know that their venue was proper because of under the authority of necessity, there was no other court in operation that we could take it to. Once again, there were over 300 maxims of law. That is the law, period. It is superior to their code. It is superior to their constitution. There is only one thing superior to the maxims of law, and that is the Bible itself.
Exactly.
You have to forgive me, my computer's screwing up a little bit here. So then we asked for the relief and remedy, which were various writs of mandamus and prohibitions. And to sum them up very quickly, we wanted complete compliance and return to constitutional law, a constitutional government. And absent that, we wanted the expatriation of ourselves honored with the paperwork to show that we had left their corporate system and had complete diplomatic immunity from them. We gave them a very easy out, which was the expatriation, which they're required by an 1868 act of Congress to adhere to and to honor. They've refused to do that. We did sign it with seals. It was filed. We have the stamp. We received a scheduling order from them approximately June 6th, which attempted to transform us into fictions because the maximum law states like things mysterious like things. Of course, that's the crux of our case. They can't deal with us. We can't deal with them. And we wanted to know why our fellow brothers and sisters are in jail, because they can't deal with us. So we did correct them. We refused their scheduling order, and we set forth our order, which was 30 days from the date of filing. The defendants had to respond. That was actually giving them leeway based upon trial court rules of West Virginia, which required a judgment to be entered within 30 days of the filing a complaint for extraordinary relief. So right. They violated their own trial court rules. The second rule in the rules of the Supreme Court of Appeals is there are no rules. And we let them know that, of course, if they're not in compliance with the original contract, they can't make the rules for court because they're not following the original contract. So they have no authority to make rules, period. And so we said we were going to buy.
They totally disregarded your action. They did not respond. They did not do anything.
They gave a technical response under Supreme Court trial rules. But of course, because we invoke Rule 2, which is there are no rules, and that we'll give the rules and orders as they need to be coming, we did refuse their response because their response was, we're the government, and there's nothing you can do about it. You're frivolous. Go away. We rejected their response, and we gave them a 10-page correction of their 2-page response. And
wow.
We have since then went ahead and gave them notice of default and dishonor in commerce, equity, admiralty, in law and at law and otherwise. We gave them an opportunity to cure. We gave them a second notice of the same, including silence of acquiescence and notice of unclean hands with an opportunity to cure. And at that point, they're dead in the water. We have not heard from them since then except for a letter begging us to please stop sending Mr. Harrison filings at his home. And, of course, we told them that we will continue sending filing the registered address of the business that we are in suit with. We have not heard from them except for a fine young gentleman from California called to inquire why this case had not been set for oral hearing and jury trial. And he was told that it was pushed back to the fall docket. We have not received notice of it being pushed back, so they're further in violation of due notice, which is the most basic process of law there is on this earth.
Comment.
Point. Go ahead.
What about the constitutional violation of foreign troops being on American soil?
That's of no consequence at this time. Because your own military is going to kill you.
Yeah.
And because you're an enemy combatant.
Yeah, but it's still a violation of our U.S. Constitution.
Hang on a second. Jim, that's sort of like off topic. Let Thomas finish what they're doing with the case.
Okay.
There's nothing in the contract that says they can't have foreign troops here. Show me where it says in the contract. I'm just going by the contract terms, not what we believe it to be. But that's of no concern because you're an enemy combatant and because you're all enemies and they are foreign to us. They can do whatever they need to do to slaughter the enemy combatants in war. We are at war. We are enemy combatants. Under the laws of war, they can kill you. And they're going to kill you this year.
I know that too.
So the foreign troops are really of no consequence. The Pope has issued his encyclical letter, which is the New World Constitution, and it will be implemented at the UN in September. And sometime this year, there will be war breaking out on the European front. And because Europe is papered through D.C., we will be brought into it. And at that point, martial law will be enacted. And if you thought martial rule was bad, martial law is 10 times worse. With that, we're looking. I know Phil has put out a call for a peaceful rally. I have nothing to do with that. That is Phil's private endeavor. I fully support Phil in whatever he does as a fellow comrade, but I can't speak on to what's happening with that other than I know it's the date of August 24th at the Capitol Complex, and he's calling
Thank
for
you,
a peaceful
sir.
Rally.
Thank you.
No violence. And I am simply looking to remove these guys from office and install a civil authority under constitutionally compliant government structure so that the military can be given an order from a civil authority to stand down before they kill us. And so far I have seen no other state that is in the same position as us that can effectuate a civil authority in the time needed. And that's the only presentation I have. I will just open it up for questions or remarks.
This is Colleen Oliver. I received a very large package in regards to what's going on with Tom, and it was interpreted by a professor at the University of New Hampshire who has access to all of the law books at the library, and she says basically that Tom has found the holy grail of what can happen, but here's a conflicting thing. While we're going through all of this and with the new TPP changes, some courts, and especially the Supreme Court right now, are acting under the United Nations guidelines, and they have completely disavowed the Constitution. On state levels is the only way that we can effectuate this, and so Tom has this at 100%, or if August 24th is really an acceptable time. A week after that, the market is expected to crash on or about September 1st.
And I would agree with that through my sources.
Shame here, America Watch does too.
The great thing is that they're in default, and through a lawfully convened court of record, a summary judgment can be issued the same day it's filed. And
right.
They can be removed from their fictional capacities. And that court of record, because they are the sovereign people on the soil, through the record, the court of record charter and the individual independence declaration of that individual, can choose to install persons into a constitutionally compliant government structure and issue the stand-down order before the military comes in.
Let's hope. Let's get this together. Let's move.
All right, this is Steve, your host. Tom, last night on the call, on the radio show, you talked about the militias and 3% of groups need to take an oath, which is to the people, instead of anything that they might have taken already. Do you want to explain about that?
Well, this is anybody in office of government, from the lowest to the highest in this nation, is a foreign agent under federal code.
Right.
Because of that, I cannot work with anybody that is still in office. They would need to renounce their office. They would need to exclaim that they are an American citizen or a state citizen, and they would need to take the oath as set forth in our complaint, which is not only to the original, properly titled founding contracts, but also to the people themselves. And absent that, I will work with no foreign agents. No one in government will come near me or my case. The militias, I don't know if they take an oath when they come into the militia. To me, they're not a part of the government structure. They're of the people. If they've taken an oath, then I would need to see it. But of course, if they come in to effectuate this lawful private contractual juror society court of record, in order to enact the enforcement, there is a contract that they would sign, and they would of course be under their own full liability, complete transparency for any actions they take, and they would need to be completely professional. We're not looking for a shoot 'em up. We're looking for completely professional persons that will effectuate the rest with extreme prejudice if necessary. These guys need removed. We need a civil authority that can give the stand down order. Any other arguments or any other angles that anyone's attacking is not going to work, because the military will still come in and kill you. We need a civil authority on the soil, constitutionally compliant, to give the stand down order.
Could that be National Guard?
The National Guard are foreign agents because of their oath.
Right.
All right, so this is your host, Steve, again. James, hang on for a second. How is the court of record form? What's the process to put that in place?
It's a private contractual agreement between sovereigns. They would first need to sign the four-paragraph Declaration of Independence and Absolute Freedom to ensure that they're not working for the other side and that they are of the proper standing capacity that should be by the birthright on the soil of this nation. And then there is roughly a page of rules and procedures for the court that they would then sign. And at that point, when 12 persons have signed it, you have formed the court of record. And at that point, any individual that's having harm caused to them could bring a complaint so long as they sign and are part of the private court of record. This is not a public. This is not governmental. This is by, of, and for the people, as it should have been. The judiciary should have never been included in the Constitution or any constitutions. It should have stayed privately by, of, and for the people. And so it is a simple contract.
All right. Now, is the court of record particular to the state of West Virginia for the purpose of doing what you guys are doing now? Or
no.
If you form a court of record, can it apply anywhere across the country?
Because there is actually just U.S. Inc. at this point. There are no states
right. That
are constitutionally compliant. So there are no states. There are no borders outside the border of the purported United States. It doesn't matter where it's enacted or effectuated. But our idea was that it would be locally run from the grassroots up. But there is no, it doesn't matter where you live, if you wish to sign it and come to West Virginia and help us. It doesn't matter where you domicile at, because there are no states at this point. It's all corporations. There are no states.
All right. So now, anybody from anywhere in the country can be a part of the court of record. But
correct.
You guys have in place a plan right now to establish the court of record before the 24th?
The court of record, we have enough signatories here to sign and implement it. The enforcement is the thing that's lacking.
Okay, could you repeat that again? Somebody had some pretty heavy
we can find the people to sign the court of record and have it implemented here. We're lacking the enforcement.
Right. And the enforcement side of it would be the people coming in support of what is taking place.
The only ones that could actually enforce anything for the court of record would have to sign a contract with the court of record. And they would have to be a member or a signatory of the court of record.
Can you guys make that available that can be emailed out to any of the militias, super centers, and other people that want to come in?
I have a slight alteration to make in it, but a rough draft that can be looked at is on hudoc.info. It's been up there for several months now. Let me find the exact link here.
Okay. Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, the biggest problem is that this is going to have to approach roads for the bookkeepers and the three percenters.
We're not approaching. Any oath keepers are not permitted near me unless they're going to sign the court of record and they're going to renounce their corporate office and announce that they are once again an American citizen or a state citizen. Let me repeat that.
I'm
not working with foreign agents. This is my complaint.
I understand that. I don't
control of that.
I don't work with foreign agents either, okay? But what I'm saying is there has to be a good outline on this in order for them to see it, get roads to Bring it up at the meeting.
I don't care about Rhodes. Rhodes is a lawyer, bar lawyer. He's a foreign agent working for the Crown. I could care
I understand. I understand exactly what you're saying there. I understand. I deal with three percenters and also oath keepers, okay? And some tea party. And what I'm saying is that this is going to have to be submitted to them, and they will go along with it if it's bona fide.
I don't care if they think it's bona fide. We are the authority on the soil. We don't need anybody's approval to do anything. And if you think you need their approval to do anything, I've heard that they're in West Virginia. I gave out my address last night. These foreign agents are more than welcome to come and talk to me in person.
Sir, I got a meeting coming up Thursday with oath keepers up here in Northern Idaho, okay? I will bring it up to their commanders, okay?
You can do that and realize that they are not welcome in their capacity because the oath keepers...
Okay, as they exist, as they are not welcome in their capacity as they exist under the present military oath of allegiance.
Correct.
Why is this guy so hostile, Thomas?
Say that again?
Why is this guy getting so hostile?
I'm not getting hostile. I don't know why you're talking that way, my friend.
Hold on. This is your host, Steve. That kind of conversation isn't really getting us anywhere. So
let's stick to the subject.
The main thing is that if a person has taken an oath, then the oath that they have taken has definitely not been an oath that's approved for the purpose of what we want to try to accomplish. They just need to take an oath that has been prepared that is acceptable to this what we're trying to accomplish here. You know, I don't have the best knowledge on all this stuff myself, but it's just apparent that it's merely just taking the new oath. So if someone doesn't want to take it, then that just means that they don't want to be there. If someone takes it, then it means that they want to be there to help.
That's what it
really
takes.
True.
And that's exactly how I
would
explain it.
Yeah.
May I ask a question? This is Dan Gray from Pennsylvania. I've taken the oath to the Constitution. And
Which Constitution, though?
As written.
No. What's your exact oath? Does it say the Constitution of the United States is 90% of them in this nation state? Because that document does not exist in law anywhere.
So what is the Constitution that is in Philadelphia, the Constitution Center behind glass, that's the original document. That isn't the Constitution of the United States. I'm confused.
That is not the title of the document. And at law, words mean everything. That's a false.
Well, listen, I want to tell you something. This is I'm not a stupid man, but this is getting into weeds. If I have to explain things to people, give me a moment. One of the things I do is I explain things to people. I try and boil it down to the simplest possible terms, not because people are stupid, but because they're not prepared for all this complexity. And quite frankly, it makes it easier for me to understand. The Constitution, when people take that oath and they mean it, they're talking about respecting the rights that are natural and inherent in human beings. They're talking about limiting the states and the federal government and reserving the rights that are not granted to the federal government and the powers to the states or to the people. I don't care if it's legal or not. Legal doesn't matter in today's day and age because the courts will say anything they want to. Now, I don't say there's anything wrong with what you're doing, but is there any way you can explain this in a way that will be more inclusive so that I can get more people who are to get sign on? Because right now, it's something that somebody who is not a technical policy wonk student of law is going to have a really, really hard time following it. I won't tell you my IQ. I've read extensively, but I'm having a hard time following it.
Wanting to participate.
Let me put it very simply. I'm a ninth grade dropout, so this is
Doesn't
not a complicated
stupid.
Thing to grasp your mind around. If you took an oath to a Constitution of the United States, show me where that document exists, because it doesn't exist. In
what
law.
What is the title?
Constitution for the United States of America.
Okay, so all we have to do is make...
Well, yeah, but you didn't take that oath.
Fine.
Also have to remember that you are not a party to the federal contract, and so that does not help any of us if you take an oath to the federal contract. We're not a party to it. So that's not upholding our rights. You're just upholding a piece of paper. There are many technicalities, and regardless of whether you say what was in your heart, it doesn't matter what's in your heart. What matters is on paper. That's a maxim of law.
What I'm looking for is practicality.
Practicality is you must take the proper oath to the properly titled document.
Okay,
so Thomas, explain the background on that.
Before he does, perhaps Stephen will send a copy of whatever the appropriate oath is for the rest of us to look it over. If
it's
just
in the complaint.
Okay,
good. In the complaint, it's under the writ of mandamus, probably near the last few pages.
I'll look at that then.
We need the documentation.
Thank you.
We need that documentation.
It's been available for months on hudoc.info. It's not hidden. It's in the public purview.
Thank you very much.
Thomas, would it be
I have a question, Brad?
Go ahead.
Now, in order to participate, we have to get to Virginia and sign that document. And when we do, then we're allowed to participate legally and nonviolently in what we're trying to do, correct?
Did you say
you can come to West Virginia anytime you want, but you would not be a party to anything that I'm doing unless it's done properly and lawfully.
Right, but aren't you saying in order for people to participate, they have to sign on to that docket that was presented before the court?
No, they have to sign on. They have to sign on to the court of record. And thereby declaring their independence and freedom from the fiction and the corporations and agreeing to the rules and procedures of that specific tribunal.
Okay.
Now, private contractual agreement.
Does that apply to, if you participate and sign into that? Is that just for West Virginia, or does that cover other states also?
There are no states. Right now, it's just U.S. Inc.
Okay, so it's okay.
Well, once you have a return to constitutionally compliant government structure in place, then you have the borders and jurisdictions back in place on the geographic landmass. Until then, what you have is a fictional overlay, and it's just U.S. Inc.
Okay.
Okay.
Thomas, would it be too late to interject or complicated for the people here to interject the Treaty of Paris with the Arch-Treasurer and Prince-Elector?
I'm not sure I want to destroy everybody's belief in the original Constitution quite yet, because there's nothing ready to be put in place. I can simply say that you have problems in your foundational documents that have placed you back under the control of England and the Vatican, and that until those issues are fully addressed by a modern-day declaration of pendants for this nation, that a return to the federal constitution only places you back where you're at right now. It'll just take a couple years for you to start to see the effects.
Now, Thomas, this is your host again. Can you explain a little bit more the history and how this deception was set up? Because I think this is what is really causing confusion with people. There's been a deception here by the people that were involved in the founding. Some of the founding fathers were actually probably in league with the Crown of England at the time that they wrote the Constitution. So they were like working as double agents, basically.
We can go back to the Treaty of 1213 between the King and the Pope, and the King at that time gave jurisdiction and authority and gave title to everything that was under his purview to the Pope. 1302, Papal Bull Unum Sanctum. The Pope declared he was in control of your souls, so that's your ownership of the man at that point. He already had ownership of the land and the seas. There were a couple papal bulls in the 14 and 1500s, which further solidified it and created what we would now know as the Global Trust, which is administered by the Vatican. You have the Treaty of Peace. Some people call it, I think it's actually entitled the Definitive Treaty of Peace from 1783, which gave Arch-Treasurer and Prince-Elector status of the Holy Roman Empire, which was the predecessor to the Vatican, and so therefore the Vatican is the successor to it, and also gave Prince-Elector status to the King of England over the United States of America. That Treaty of Peace, according to the Constitution, is the supreme law of the land, and hence the Queen is able to have, as recently as 1997, altered our Social Security Act, and still gives them full control over the entire nation here, which is why they were able to declare us enemies, because in actuality they were foreign agents from the inception of this purported country. We gave everything back that we won with one simple treaty, and regardless of what the Patriots think or they say it's not legal, it's not lawful, it doesn't matter what you personally think. It matters what is at law and in law, and that's where we're at today.
Okay. Let me interject. This is Jim Larkin. I've done a lot of work in history myself. I just wanted to kind of help shore up what you're talking about with a modern-day example for folks. Toward the end of the presidency of George Bush Sr., he was given an award for the Order of the British Empire. And that ceremony happened in the Rose Garden at the White House, and I happened to be watching that very carefully. You know, I don't really know what happened, if that was supposed to be a closed media event, because the actual viewing that I had was on very, very late at night on C-SPAN. But what he did was, the Queen of England was sitting in the front row. It's a very small ceremony. But when the senior got up to make his remarks, he went ahead and I think it was Tom Brokaw had to cover for him, who's also CFR. But Bush Sr. went ahead and actually said the words in his acceptance speech that he wanted to thank the Queen Mum, and that he made a comment about, you know, being in, you know, and with respect to the United States and the motherland, which obviously he's referring to England. So immediately, Brokaw, it might have been Peter Jennings, but I think it was Brokaw, stepped in, and as soon as he finished his remarks and tried to smooth things over and make that sound and cover for the president in a media capacity to try to dumb it all down so that it didn't come off exactly how it did come off, which for me was basically the president of the United States paying homage to the Queen Mother and the motherland. You know, I never was able to find a copy of that ever again. I searched high and low. I did a lot of research to try to get that soundbite and that ceremony so I could have it in my archives, but I missed it. But anyways, I'm sorry for interrupting. I did want to kind of show a modern-day example that this, the United States, indeed is beholden to the British Empire, and in that Order of the British Empire award that he received, Senior, in the early 90s toward the end of his presidency, he went ahead and basically tilted his hand and, in my opinion, stated it straight out during his acceptance speech. Thank you.
Now, there's a simple way to remedy the problem. It's a very simple remedy. That is a new Declaration of Independence with the military to enforce it. It's a very simple remedy. Very simple. But without a civil authority, we don't have control of the military, and we don't have the support of the military. A civil authority on the soil, constitutionally compliant, is required.
But, Tom, I'll have to correct you on that. It would be an individual Declaration of Independence, because a Declaration of Independence to represent all people can't take place. Am I correct?
It's not ideal. And at some point, it would need to be everything's got to go back to individual responsibility, liability, and contracts. But to solve a problem very quickly, it could be a general declaration. Of course, it would have to be by a freeborn person that has the proper standing and capacity to sign that document. Of course, we are operating under the law of necessity here because of the time constraints. So it could be done similar to what was done in the past temporarily until we have some breathing room from the military aggression that will take place. But in the future, to make it stand the test of time, it would need to be on an individual basis. And, of course, any original contract that was put in place would also need to be signed, maybe not necessarily signed, but accepted and acknowledged by each individual person that wishes to be under that or to enact that specific contract. Everything has to go back to individuality. I'm not willing to ever give anyone power of attorney to sign anything for me, especially not a contract that would implement a government that would enslave me again. Those things would take time, but under the law of necessity, we could implement something very quickly. But it would have to be cleaned up in the future. Otherwise, you will end up in this same mess again. And I'm 39. I don't want to fight this fight again. I may not be around to fight this fight again. And I don't want my children to have to either. So it's got to be done right. And it may be hard for people to understand. Turn off the TVs. Turn off your cell phones. Read some books.
Every 20 years, Thomas.
All right, now, Tom, this is your host again, Steve. Tell people about the documents that you found in the state archives. So that one of the things that I think people have the hardest time with is dealing with the level of deception that's been perpetrated on us right from the beginning. And you found in the documents in the state that some very interesting things that I think are good examples of how deep the deception goes.
Could you narrow it down what you're talking about? Because, I mean, on my hard drives, I have tens of thousands of documents.
Well, one thing is the level of private corporations running throughout the shadow.
I can address that very quickly. Creditreports.dnb.com and Manta.com are databases for corporations to use to check out the creditworthiness and the structure of any corporation they may wish to deal with. They're both free, and you can get a basic corporate structure of your state, your county, of your federal government at this point, and you can see the registered address and the names of each of the individual corporations. And in West Virginia here, we did a search just for West Virginia, and I think we came up with 28 pages, approximately, I would say, close to 400 corporations operating under the auspices of State of West Virginia, all caps. Now, that doesn't include the local counties, the local cities, or any other political subdivisions, but we did run across some rather interesting things here, which was that our state is actually running and owns and operates four separate insurance companies. And it also operates the Dominion Post, which is a newspaper. And so if you do a search, you will probably find some very interesting things. And the reason for the insurance companies is because of the crimes they've committed, they're no longer insurable by private companies, so they needed to start their own. Because they're private companies, of course, they need the bond to purport to operate on the public side, but because they're private, they need the insurance as well. Most people don't realize that. I've done the structure of Wood County, which is the county I reside in, or the county of Wood, actually, and I found approximately 200 corporations within a matter of minutes.
tell them what you found about the governor and his position.
Well, the governor is operating two corporations in his position, plus purporting to be the lawful and constitutionally compliant governor. One of them is an entertainment company, and I believe it's called Governor's Mansion, and it is described as an entertainment company providing entertainment services. Well, that's true. He is providing entertainment. It's just not very good entertainment. This stuff is not hidden in plain sight, and you have to look at it this way. You are operating in this fictional capacity under the law of admiralty, under the Holy See. And every election, the ship is going to change master. And so that is why we're finding now that these corporations are altering their name slightly at every election because there's a new master coming on board. And so what they may have been going by 2 years ago is not the same one they're going by now. And that is simply because they are under the laws of admiralty of the Holy See. It's very simple. But it makes it very hard because if you sue the wrong name, that gives them the authority to say you have named the wrong person. There's no standing then, and they can dismiss your case, which is the case in probably most of the cases that the Patriots are attempting to file here. So remember, everything in law and at law must be specifically spelled out properly. And so as you can, if you look at our complaint, you will see that we have them in both their straw man capacity, their fictional capacity, their live man capacity, and we've named every corporation that we were able to find while reserving the omission is not a waiver, and we are reserving the right to amend it as future evidence has been found. And, of course, there will probably be a huge amendment to this complaint soon because we've uncovered more, and we wish to seek we need to have a civil authority. We need to have the authority to tell the military to stand down against the lawful Americans on this soil. Otherwise, nothing else you're doing matters. Nothing.
What if they don't stand down?
Say that again.
What if they don't stand down?
There is no choice for them. Trust me, there's enough good ones in there that will enforce that stand down order because they understand that the civil authority is always superior to a military authority. The problem is there is no civil authority here right now.
And this is your host again. Is that the court of record for the time being then, Tom?
Well, no. What it would be is the court of record under the law of necessity once they removed the purported individuals from purported office would then immediately, by commission, for a period of roughly 90 days, appoint persons to fill the constitutional offices and put out an immediate order for 90 days to election, thereby allowing the people within 90 days to choose the persons they want in the constitutionally compliant office. But the law of necessity has to be invoked in this instance, and the court of record and those free men, which are the only ones that actually have the right to place anyone in office, would be the ones deciding it for a minimum of 90 days. And that's through the law of necessity. There's no other way to have it done right now. We don't have time to hold elections, and we want to ensure that they are freeborn Americans or freeborn state citizens, because in actuality, there is no such thing. As an American, you're a freeborn state citizen. An American is a statutorily created fiction meant to confuse and commit further fraud and allow Congress to do what it's doing now. Look, this is just simple law stuff here, but everybody says it makes my head hurt. But if you don't understand these things and you don't learn these things, you're going to lose anything you may have gained by what we're doing.
Yeah, but the whole thing is, you know, the problem goes back to these oath keepers and everybody else in 3%ers. They base their military, their current military or militia, should I say, under their current oath that they took while they were in the military because we're a domestic, okay? And we have to have black and white in order for the people to understand that we have to have it changed because it has been altered from the very beginning, okay? And this is what I need. If I can get this information up here in North Idaho within the next 4 days, 5 days, when I have a meeting with those keepers, then I'll give it to them, and they will go over it. And they'll look at the logic of it. They'll look at everything of it because we need every man that we have.
I agree with you, and a constitutionally compliant oath has been presented and demanded by writ of mandamus. It's in the complaint.
Get me the copies. That's all I need. Get me the paperwork, and I'll sell those bills up here in Idaho.
Hudock.info, legal filings.
This is Leonard again, California. I wanted to refer this to the gentleman from Idaho with the oath keepers.
I'm not oath keeper, okay? I'm chief dissenter, my friend.
Okay,
well, forget. Let's let the man talk here.
Okay, if you're not an oath keeper, I apologize. I was the former founding member of the oath keepers. And
exactly.
I've done everything shy. I'm getting on my hands and knees and bang Stuart Rhodes to listen to some of the stuff that we're doing. I've written
right. Two letters.
I have explained everything. I have provided links to the filings that West Virginia has done, and I keep hearing crickets. So I just want to let you know, don't hold your breath on the Oath Keepers. I am not putting down the rank and file. The issue is with the leadership. And I don't want to say what I want to say, but let's just call it what it is. I think
I do know what you're trying to say. I do know.
Okay, without all you.
All
right,
know,
now, this is your host again, Steve. Thomas, let's go back to the deception thing, because I know this just, like, boggles people's minds.
Okay, and I'm looking right now for the exact oath, so go ahead.
Okay, was I correct in understanding that you told me that when the politicians are elected and they take their oath, then they sign paperwork that acknowledges
they may or may not.
Within that paperwork, did you tell me that it actually denies their U.S. citizenship when they sign that?
No, someone else told that to you. I have no verification. I actually don't care because their code says it.
Their code says it. What's the code?
Yes, Title 5 U.S.C. 331, 332, 333, along with CFR 92.12 or 92.13 through 92.31. Actually, the document is on Hudock here. If you'll give me a second, I can find it.
Okay, so there's actual code that says that applies once you take an elective office?
Correct.
I mean, it just boggles the mind to think that this kind of deception was planned.
I just muted. What?
Okay, so what we did was we have the what they call the Pan American Treaty, which is actually the Montevideo Treaty. Congress took the state statutes off, put the states under international law. That was 12-26-33. Under the International Organization Immunities Act of 12-9-45, Congress relinquished every public office over to the UN. Oath of Office, Title 5 USC, Section 331, 332, 333. In conjunction with Title 22 CFR Foreign Relations 92.12 through 92.31, Title 8 USC Section 1481, the public official relinquishes his national citizenship and are thus foreign agents as stipulated under Title 22 USC Chapter 11 Section 611, loss of national citizenship.
Thank you.
That is on Hudock.info as well.
Thank you.
This is all on Hudock.
Thank you.
Yeah, it boggles the mind. It just totally boggles the mind to think that this kind of stuff exists.
Remember, the devil has to
tell you what he's
doing.
It gets even worse than that.
Well, I mean, how can you have a people that are deemed enemy belligerent and then all of a sudden take an oath of office to that jurisdiction? Wouldn't you be actually an enemy to yourself at that point?
Well, I mean,
hey, that's a good question.
I mean, yes, they're elected to office as an enemy, but you got to remember, we're not an enemy of the United States of America. We're an enemy of U.S. Inc. and its controlling interests. And so,
right.
If you look at it from that perspective, it makes sense that we're enemies. It makes sense. It doesn't make it lawful. It doesn't make it constitutionally compliant, because it's not. But if you look at it from that perspective, it doesn't seem as odd then.
Right. Yeah.
This is part of the fraud that's been perpetrated. This is outright constructive fraud, which vitiates all. It vitiates all. Okay? We've proven the fraud, both constructive in the inducement and in the factum in this complaint outright. It's already been proven. It's already unrebutted. The story is done and over. And this can be duplicated in any state because we use strictly federal code, federal case law, federal rules and regulations. We use nothing at the state level because we wanted a template for the other states to follow. And it's there. We have Word doc format of the petitions and the original complaint so that all you must do is go through and simply change the entities to fit your state. With a little bit of research on Manta and Dun & Bradstreet, it could all be done in just a few hours. It's not complicated. It's not rocket science. You don't really need to learn anything, but you will as you're reading it.
Amen.
Thank you. I'm enlightened.
This just takes fascism to a whole nother level.
Yeah, this is terrible what's happened. We've been defrauded. In actuality, the Constitution for the United States of America was just a reorganization of a bankrupt corporation called the Articles of Confederation, which was a reorganization of other bankrupt entities going back to the Virginia colony. They're all just reorganizations, changing the name so that they can continue to launder and filter the odious debt that they claim is owed. And remember, the doctrine of odious debt, all you need to do is declare it's odious and repudiate it. It's done. You don't need to do anything other than that. Iceland did it beautifully. Iceland was a beautiful template.
Well, I was going to ask
have
you about that.
Now in state court. In the state court here, this is done. The template is there. It works. It's already been proven to work because they have not answered. They cannot answer. They cannot argue against their own words. There's no other way it could have been done. And this is coming from a ninth grade dropout. I've never made more than $9 an hour in my life. I am not a smart man. This was just simple reading. So there's no excuse for anyone in this country to say that they can't do it or they can't learn it.
Yeah, now that you've compiled everything, it's pretty convenient to go find out and read everything. It's not like people have to go and search it all out.
Six-page judicial notice with it that compiled all the federal code and case law that was applicable to prove it. It's all there. It's all there.
Now, if anybody wants to, Thomas, Phil, and Gene did a two-hour live stream about, what was it, 2 weeks ago now?
It was last Friday. I don't know. I haven't slept. I think it was last Friday.
Okay, so about a week ago. So in the information that I have been sending around on tonight's call, that link is in that, whether you got an email or saw it on Facebook and a message to you, the link for that live stream is in there so you can watch that. That's a good review of everything that these guys did. They presented the case, and they also presented information from the evidence that was given in the case. And then they have hudoc.info, which has the tab for the filing of the case, and then another tab for the evidence package, and that's all the evidence right there. So it's all very conveniently grouped together, and the legwork has been done. I mean, Thomas put this stuff together, and it's all there.
This is Gene, if I could interrupt for a second.
Go ahead, Gene.
Everything is there except documentation on Rabinowitz versus Kennedy.
Which we can't find.
What's the importance of that?
That is where the U.S. Supreme Court decided that lawyers must register as foreign agents.
No wonder you can't find that one.
Exactly. But it's there. But remember, the courts in this country are all operating under admiralty. They will switch jurisdictions if you come in and defend yourself properly in admiralty, but even the U.S. Right. Supreme Court is the high admiralty court. It is nothing more, nothing less. It is not even constitutionally compliant.
Right.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Gene.
Well, that's all I wanted to say. If anyone here had done any research on that particular case, that was a we have what we think is all the info you need in there, except probably if you want to read that case, we don't have that case in there.
And I don't think you'll find it.
No, not without some heavy enforcement behind you.
All right, so on page 22 of the complaint, we have an oath that would be acceptable. And I'll go ahead and read it here so that everyone can hear it, but it starts on the end of page 22 and goes into page 23. I do solemnly affirm that I will support, uphold, and defend the Constitution for the United States of America, circa 1819, and the amended Constitution of West Virginia, circa 1863, against all enemies, foreign and domestic, at all times and all places, under the pains and penalties of breach of contract, breach of fiduciary duty, breach of trustee duty, perjury, treason, and sedition, and further will uphold, support, and defend the God-given rights, privileges, freedoms, immunities, and properties of all real men with hands and legs, at all times and all places, under the pains and penalties of breach of contract, breach of fiduciary duty, breach of trustee duties, perjury, treason, and sedition, and that I enter this multifaceted contract with no false intentions, fully understanding all of the terms and the pains and penalties for any violation thereof, and that I take this of my own free will choice and without any mental evasion, so help me God.
Amen.
Let's get it out. Amen.
Yeah, I mean, Jim, don't you think that's something that an oath keeper would sign on to? At least the rank and file?
I can get good oath keepers to come on board. Yes, I can.
Yeah.
So what I'm going to do, Steve, is I'm going to pull that specific oath out. I'm going to email it to you. You do what you want with it.
Okay, well, spread it around. Yeah, you'll get it, Jim. We'll spread it around.
Okay.
Now,
you got it, man, because, like I said, I got Thursday's meeting with oath keepers, and I'll be back on the line with 3% of North Carolina in about another week.
Right, okay. Good deal.
Great talk, man. Ask a question, please.
Yeah, who is this?
Speak up. Go ahead and speak up, though. We can barely hear you.
Yeah, speak in your phone a little stronger, and if you're on speakerphone, turn that off and speak straight in.
It's Greg Todd of Florida. I wanted to ask Thomas a quick question.
Okay.
Sure, Thomas, should they denounce their previous oath before they take this one?
They must renounce their oath and declare that they are I would prefer a state citizen, not an American, because that is once again a fiction.
Yeah, and could that language be incorporated into the new oath?
I would prefer them to do a separate document under their own hand and seal themselves. But if they need the wording for it, I could at some point probably find a few minutes to do that.
That's just an observation. Thank you.
All right, good. Thanks. Good question.
A very good one.
Anyone else? Mike School, are you out there? Mike. Well, he was for a while anyway. Anyone else with questions?
Not with questions, Steve.
Hang on for a second, one at a time.
Let her go ahead, Steve.
Okay. Whoever the second person was, go ahead.
Steve, it's Colleen Oliver.
Oh, Colleen, go ahead.
We had a very similar case in Massachusetts back in the late 70s, and it was filed very similar to be put up for interpretation under a case law review in the 70s. And a federal court judge handed it back down, and interestingly, it went back to the Catholic Church. And he said if the American people find out exactly who runs our country, we wouldn't have any citizens. So they sealed the case. And essentially what happened was is they declared that we are a corporation, we are all individual corporations, and we are all under direct rule of the Vatican. And that was the case.
I'm not.
So what Thomas has done is he has completely opened up Pandora's box again in yet a different state, and we're reviewing this again. No one's going to have the explanations because Congress has all signed off as independent agents. Yeah. So we can only do this at a local level by each and every state.
One state at a time.
Exactly.
Right, so that's why we're going to target West Virginia and get on board there and go for it August 24th. So,
it becomes a case of first impression because this has never been done before, and it gets recorded as that and adopted as that. And then it gets hemmed up into New Hampshire, and as soon as it is sent to New Hampshire, every state can adopt it.
Wow.
Okay, Thomas, do you have any comment there?
I would agree with her.
I got a question, Brad, Idaho. So you say once it's adopted, once it's established in North New Hampshire, then we can transpose that over into other states? Is that what you're saying?
It just has to be filed as case law with the federal court in New Hampshire, gone through the West Virginia courts, and that way everyone can use it. I don't know if anybody's aware of it, but New Hampshire is the state that actually logs all of our laws.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the state of Idaho is pretty well upset now anyway, so it wouldn't be too hard to promote that here.
So, Thomas, do you have any comment on that then, other than what Colleen said?
Well, technically, through the faith and credit clause, once it's there, I mean, that's precedent. That would be another term for it. It's precedent, and it could be utilized in any state, and it actually has to be recognized. But the recording process, she's probably correct on. I'm not for sure on that, but I'll take her word for it.
All right, any other questions out there?
The oath has been sent, Steve. You should have it.
Okay, good.
Well, this is Jim Larkin. I just wanted to float, the idea, and I'm sorry to be, I hope this comes across right. Being as the general nature of things, I know, Tom, that you mentioned it would take a few hours of, to go ahead and basically codify for each state and make, it pertain exactly to that state by changing the paperwork. Is there any, once again, I'm sorry for putting it this way, is there any way you could recommend to help us out with that in case, we all feel, or some of us or some states feel inept? And too inept to even do that part of it. I mean, I hate to say the expression, but maybe hold our hands a little bit through that or,
as long as I have time and I'm still breathing, I will assist anybody in attempting that. If you look at the entities that we did and, you can simply go to Mantor DNB, find the same entities, look to see the corporations they're working as, and do the title page exactly as we've done it. You do want to keep this at the state level, so you need to find the court of original jurisdiction for risk, which could be your state Supreme Court. It could be an inferior court because of our judiciary here. We go directly from county courts to the state Supreme Court. There are no appeals courts or intermediary courts there. But in your state, you may find that there's an intermediary court that would be original jurisdiction, and you would need to file it in original jurisdiction.
I see. So we couldn't just do a kind of a blanket, play it safe, so to speak, and go just straight to and file with the Supreme Court. It would have to go through that lower court if it exists first.
If the original I would say that you could probably Google your state code and original jurisdiction and extraordinary writ, and you should be able to find the code very quickly that would tell you which court is original. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say most of the time the original is the Supreme Court, but you may find it's not the case in your state.
Right. So let's, I'm a kind of business plan can-do guy, and I'm, orchestrating the counterman effort, as you know. And my point in, even bringing this all up is that, I know that I know general human nature as I've been working even just in these past months to try to move this particular effort that I'm working on, that people in general, and I'm not trying to have a go at anybody, especially the like-minded people on the call here, because we're all very motivated and want this to happen, obviously. But even with that, and I may be speaking out of turn and revealing my own ignorance or feeling of being inept, but, I think that if I got involved, I would try to, provide the 50 states paperworks and make them available for everybody, on this phone call, obviously, but so that everybody would have them. In other words, we pre-draw them up for each state that they're already clean and ready to go, and really, literally, all they need to do is be, put in place, stamped, and entered. So, in other words, and pardon my expressions, to try to make this as idiot-proof as possible for, and I'll just speak for myself, for someone like myself. So I wouldn't mind helping you, make that place where we have files for each state and the papers are there. I'll try to do most of the heavy lifting and coordinating that. But, you would be the person that obviously goes over them, fine-tunes them if necessary, make sure that they're, all the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted. And I just want to try to make it as easy as possible for every single state to be able to do their own filing, because I think it's that kind of coordinated effort. If we all leave this phone call and we don't have necessarily a good solid plan and we're just expecting one another to sort of pick up the ball and run, I find that often doesn't lead to productivity. So, what I'm proposing is, if I tried to do that, if I tried to, coordinate the paperwork for the 50 states, and then maybe, like I said, you do your cursory review, go through them with a fine tooth comb, make sure that, okay, yes, these are ready to go. Then by next week when we have our call, assuming, I could get it done in a week, when next week we have a call, then we can announce that, guess what? We've got the packages ready to go for each state. Then all we need to do is do some recruiting. And, through our leadership on these phone calls, I think that we would have a good avenue for that. And therefore, here we are in the first week of August. Hopefully, the packages are ready and in the go position. And then we just need to have people set up and literally take responsibility, maybe on this phone call saying, I've got, Idaho, I've got Florida, I've got, Maryland, I've got Nevada, I've got California. So, people basically take that responsibility. And, I think, like I said, I'm floating this. So, what do you think about that, Tom?
Depending on what happens with me over the next few days, I will help in any way I can. But remember, I'm still conducting. This is still an open case to me,
right.
And I'm still conducting more. here. So I will do the best I can, but just realize that, you know, your search through Dun & Bradstreet and Manta is going to take you a little time. It wouldn't take as much time to go through and type and change the entities, but you would need to access each state's constitution to see if they have provisions like ours. See, the great thing about ours is the law of necessity is not permitted to be implemented here. And I don't think you're going to find that in another state constitution. And so that's why West Virginia is a very pivotal case here, is because we have that clause in our constitution that says they cannot use the law of necessity. You cannot set aside our constitution or the federal constitution on the soil here. You can't do it. So you may be biting off more than you can chew. Try to get it done in a week. I just wanted to let you know that.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I just didn't know if that was possible, because I think there's a lot of motivated people on this call tonight. I think that, you know, if they were given the package, so to speak, that the filings could all happen literally within, you know, a short period of time. That's just,
oh, well, I agree with you. I think the easiest thing to do is maybe get the petitions done by next week or earlier, and have them go ahead and get the petitions in so that the 7-day default provision can kick in. And that gives you another week to work with some people to start digging through the state constitutions, looking for the specific provisions that we picked out of ours, and see if you have it. Because if you don't have those, you're probably going to run into some problems, and you may have to reformat the actual complaint itself based upon that.
It's worth a try.
It's worth a try, yeah. But I would say start with the petitions so that you can go ahead and get those out immediately, and that gives you a week breathing room to dig into the complaint and the state constitutions and see what can be drummed up from those.
Right. Like I said, no doubt, if we get that paperwork, we will file it. Yeah, that's what I think.
The Word doc templates have been posted for all of that on hudoc.info under the court filings at the very top. There's a link for the Word doc, edible documents.
Right. Thomas? Greg Todd again. Can I ask another question?
Send me a check.
It's in the mail. It's in the mail, buddy. Real quick, you know. Now that you've proven this, and we're at this place where we have no enforcement, we're going to do this demonstration that I think Phil wants to do on August 34th, and I'm trying to get some support for that through my group and anybody else I know, because we have to, turn out large numbers now in order to have any kind of influence. But the bottom line is, where do we go from here, Thomas? In other words, we do have to draft new constitution. The old one's screwed up. It doesn't, it's got problems, which you call loops in it. I call it major problems with the courts and the judiciary being in the constitution. But now, can you get the sheriff or state police to actually arrest these people? Is there any way we can do that, leverage a sheriff or leverage someone in law enforcement to arrest these people?
Of course not. Of course not. Because they're foreign agents, too.
Yeah, of course they're foreign agents.
They have been trained, and their first instinct when you talk to them is to say, I must call the county prosecutor, I must call prosecutor, I must call the attorney general. And then the attorney general says that this is all hogwash. And then they go back to thinking and looking at you as a domestic terrorist attempting to invade their territory. This is by, of, and for the free men and women on the soil and the geographic landmass known as the United States of America. It's just that simple.
I get it. I get it technically and theoretically. Where do we go from here, Thomas?
I don't really have the answer, because
I know, neither do I.
I mean, myself and Gene and Phil, if the three of us could effectuate what needed to be done, we would do it ourselves. We've done the legwork. We've set the foundation. It is now up to the other persons here that wish to be free to assist in effectuating it. Of course, this kind of stuff cannot be conducted over the open airwaves.
Right.
It would be foolish to do so, and I refuse to do so because I know that I'm infiltrated. I mean, my computer's infiltrated, my phone's infiltrated, my email's infiltrated. Everything I touch is infiltrated, and it has been for years.
Big year.
But I would say that, you know, it's up to us. We the people, I hate that term, but we the people, attempting to go to those that are already. I mean, look, these sheriffs and these state police are the ones that are murdering our children on our streets in front of our eyes, and we post it on YouTube and think we did something.
I know.
I just spoke with a group earlier in the week off Zello, and he claimed that they were changing the hearts and minds of the police, and yet when I brought up the fact that I can look at Cleveland, Ohio, and can point to at least 100 children being killed this year and asked him where they were at, he couldn't say. He's like, we can't be everywhere. And I said, well, then you're not changing the hearts and minds of the police because they're still slaughtering our children. I don't care about the adults. The adults should have cleaned this mess up a long time ago. What I'm doing here is strictly for the children who have no voice.
Amen.
I'm their voice.
We're in a very tough spot. You know, you're right. We the people have to do something. We can't talk over these lines. I put together my communications committee, and we are actually doing satellite. We're doing courier pigeon. We know that when the landlines, when the phones and the computers go down, we won't be able to communicate, but even ham radio for a little bit, and then maybe some satellite phone. But then courier pigeon and smoke signals, and that's real. That's not a joke. I'm, in fact, planning this. Anybody?
Ham radio will work for a long time.
Well, they'll be able to triangulate you. You know, you can skip it now.
The only way they can triangulate you is if you stay on the air too long.
That's correct. You can't stay on the air too long to be able to triangulate.
Right now, we're working on tying up both the IF and RF frequencies of the camera with the computer to use the wave processor.
Sir, you're very muted. It's very hard to understand you.
Yeah, no, I'm not muted. But again,
what we were doing.
The other guy talking about that, he can't triangulate you.
They can't?
I understand that. I've been fooling with amateur radio and CB radio for 40, 50 years, okay?
Okay.
So
you're saying
they cannot. NCSVC and everything else. I'm not worried about that. And I know a long broadcast period will do will get you triangulated. But what we're doing is trying to do something a little bit different with ham radio. We want to incorporate the IF and RF frequencies of the ham radio in with the IF and RF frequencies of the computer. Therefore, we can use the word processor and also transmit it at the same time.
Yeah, that sounds good. What happens when they lose power? What happens when we lose power I hate to tell you something.
My friend up here, we all got generator plants.
Okay.
You know, this talk of this alternate communications is all fine and dandy.
Oh, I can do it later.
Until they have the drones and the military out in force just hunting everyone down. I think we're getting off the laser-focused angle that we need to be on at this point.
You can work on
communication networks after you have given a stand-down order to the military. You can work on all kinds of things after you've been able to give a stand-down order. Until that point, you're going to die. You may delay it, but you're going to die.
All right, so let's go back to Jim Larkin.
Not the people perpetrating this.
Right, and I just want to go back to the point of this whole call. This is, once again, Jim Larkin. Tom, the point is that I wanted to ask you, is there some blanket pertinent, you know, accusations of inviolence that would, you know, pertain or apply to every single state so that we wouldn't have to dig for particulars? In other words, at least it may not be
you could pull out the provisions of the Constitution concerning the law of necessity being able to be invoked. I'll be honest with you, I would have to reread the complaint. to see if that would alter anything in the complaint, if you'd have to alter anything. I mean, the crux of our complaint was actually the designation of us as enemy combatants and the violations of the original contract as purported by them. We did not accept these constitutions as being fact, and we did not accept them necessarily as being controlling. We just said, look, you guys are purporting these to be in effect, and so because you're purporting them, we will, for this instant matter only, accept them and then hold you to them.
I think we're all pretty intelligent on the phone. I think everybody knows where I'm going here. I'm trying to find a cook cutter, application where we can petition and then file. But basically, it is the same filing for every single state because it's common to every single state. So if we pick up the commonalities of the violations,
in the beginning of the complaint here, we did go specifically through our Constitution several provisions. Of course, you could pull those out and not even worry about looking at your state one and just hammer home the fact of the enemy combatant status.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that would affect much of the complaint there. But I would have to reread it because I've written hundreds of pages of law documents since then, and it's not clear in my mind right now.
Okay. Well, I'm going to work on that this week with you, Tom, if you don't mind. I know you're busy, man, but I'm going to try to do most of it. And I'll try to put together packages that are basically what I just explained, which are basically cookie cutter, that each state is feeling the same violations. And if we use that same wording in each state, therefore we get our packages together and we can move forward in the first few weeks in August to get these things filed and get them date stamped. So I don't know. How does that sound to you? Does that sound like a good plan?
Like I said, as long as I'm still breathing, I never take another day for granted anymore.
Sounds good. I have no problem
in assisting what I can. I'm looking through the petition real quickly here to see if there's anything that would need to be altered, really, other than the state. And it looks like we wrote it generally to where the petition itself should not really need any major changes other than maybe the name of the state and the entities you're mailing it to.
That's what I would look at. I was looking at that and saying if I pulled out the state specifics, the rest of this actually applies across the board.
Yeah, the petition was written in general terms, so I don't see anywhere in there that would require more than maybe 5 minutes of changes.
Right.
The petition, you would have to pull out the applicable West Virginia Constitution parts, and
right.
I'll have to reread it again, but I don't think it would necessarily change. You would need to alter any of the other any of the rest of the complaint, so long as you kept the exact wording in the petition, because we used that petition as facts because they defaulted word for word in the complaint.
Right.
So you can't alter the wording and the phrasing of it. If you did, then you would have to change that in the complaint.
Would we have to change the constitution of it and put our own state constitution in there?
Well, that's only if you can find the applicable provisions like we did. I don't think you're going to find them. I'm not even sure why they put them in West Virginia unless that was a gift from God from 1872 for us to use today.
No, Commonwealth is a bit different.
Yeah. I think that taking the state specifics out of out of the Deegan papers, as I like to refer to them, taking the state specifics out, I think is the avenue we should be looking at, and I'd like to try to pursue that. Once again, I'm just going to recap. I want to try to put together a blanket package for each state so that we don't have to go through Dun & Bradstreet and Manta, and we don't have to go through, and state constitutions to try to find specifics. We're going to try to find something that's a generic model that applies to each state that has teeth and still feels, they still feel the full brunt of what West Virginia has done, what Tom and his folks have done there. So, if I can get that put together before the next meeting next week, therefore, we can continue on with the plan, which, just off the top of my head should be a blanket filing done by everyone who's agreed to participate at,
whatever, 12 noon on Monday, the following, whatever, and it happened.
Just realize that we are using biblical principles as the foundation of true law, which is where it all emanates from, and
right.
The only law there actually is. And so in order to stay in compliance with that, you would need each of these things done by a minimum of two persons in each state,
right.
Out of the mouths of two or three.
Right. We can get those specifics and get the volunteers and get the groups to, you know, over the you know, the next...
But I'll be honest with you. Let me put it this way. If they're incapable or unwilling to alter the document for themselves, I'm not sure that they actually have the gumption to go through and see it through to the end.
Mm.
That's just my opinion.
Right. I understand.
I can see you're trying to make it easy, but it also makes them not educated, and it proves the apathy of the American people. And I think that by each whoever was going to file it, they need to know that complaint and the petition inside and out, because they may end up in court having to argue it. And there's not going to be anybody there to do it for them.
Oh, but we could have a, you know, pardon the expression, we could have a dream team that sort of backs up people if they need it. And first and second, you know, you could kind of horse people up prior to, you know.
Well, I mean, look, I'll be honest with you. I think my days are numbered. So I wouldn't rely on me being able to assist anyone past, you know, the next minute. I'll just be honest with you. Okay.
No,
so I wouldn't sit there and I would love to say that I'll be here for the next 20 years and I can help everyone, but I'm not looking at that. When I drew the line in the sand and I filed this complaint, I knew full well that my life was on the line. So I will assist anyone.
I'm really worried about you, brother, and I say this to you because I too have put my life on the line, not as major of a way that you have. And this is my point to these filings. Yes, you proved it. You know, yes. And I keep going, now what? So the only thing I know is I've tried to amass all of us together, you know, in large numbers to demand, you know, that which we were demanding. And that the only way to leverage that is through force or, you know, gathering in large numbers and forcing and demanding. Shutting down the way we're operating. There has to be a way that we the people can come together. I know you hate that term, and so do I, but the bottom line is, if we don't enforce something, all these filing of documents, you know what they mean? They mean nothing in the long run. Guys like you, they'll put in prison. Guys like me, they'll try to put in prison. We must, and I know it takes a minority, like you said the other night. We have to come together in large numbers and dismantle the system somehow, some way. And I'm not condoning violence, but we're going to have to be as close to that as we can. We have to do something. And I'm tired of paperwork filing because the paperwork is not doing anything.
That's right.
A beautiful maxim of law. You may take arms against the armed, as old as time itself.
And plus, we have to remember that they are coming after us. And they have written it down in their own words, in their own laws, in their own codes. We are their enemy. So as long as we remember that, this should be rather simple. But I also agree with Tom wholeheartedly.
Got to speak into your phone, please. If you're on the speakerphone, turn it off and speak directly in your phone, please.
Is that better?
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. When it gets low on batteries, it does do that on me. But what I was going to say, I do agree with Tom as far as, and I do respect the gentleman offering to do the work and compile all that paperwork together for the individual states. However, I do agree with Tom. You can't have a bunch of people going in that don't know what they're doing, because these are very, very serious filings. And like he said, if they get thrown in, of course, it would be under duress most likely, but if they get thrown into court to answer and they can't answer what they filed, that's going to be worse than not doing it.
That's right.
Or if they say the wrong word. Well, they shouldn't be talking in there anyway. Everything should be on paper, but I'm sure you get my drift.
Absolutely. Good point.
I mean, I'm fully prepared to walk in any court and defend every word of that paper. And I can do it in my sleep, okay? And that's why I think that whoever is going to file should be altering it so that it's forcing them to read it and comprehend it. I understand that we want to make it easy, but, you know, at some point, we all wish to be free sovereigns, correct? Well, sovereigns don't need anybody's help. They don't need anybody's guidance. They can stand on their own 2 feet alone, as the three of us have here in West Virginia. So be very careful there, because you make it too easy, and, you know, some people may be harmed, and, you know, if I'm not here, I can't help them.
Jim again, a strength in numbers type thing, and I don't know if we'd reach a critical mass by doing a mass filing, you know, at the same time across nationwide. You know, I just feel that that would be a resounding hammer, you know, Thor-like hammer into the fabric of the nation if the 50 states all filed, you know, for the rest of the 49.
That's true in a way, but, you know, I will go back again to focusing like a laser and the fact that you may not even have time to complete the filing or for even 30 days for them to respond before it's over. So I would say, yes, get them prepared, because it would be best not to have just West Virginia as the only one that's done it. But you must realize that if West Virginia doesn't succeed and enact a civil authority, it doesn't matter what any of you are doing.
Right.
You know, the big point, I think, is that, you know, without moving forward and trying, you can't establish a movement behind something that doesn't exist. But if the completed, you know, if 50 of the states actually filed, and, you know, I understand the jeopardy, you know, that you're expressing and everyone concerned about. But, you know, the point is that there are a lot of leaders out there that have the ears of a lot of people. But if, you know, and if, you know, if, you know, it's one of those things. It's like, you know, a mob mentality, I guess, and sorry to, you know, if you think about it in a positive light, you know, if we all move forward, we all file, the 50 states have filed, you know, it starts to go throughout the airwaves and of all the people that, you know, we have our ears to, we have their attention, then, you know, that call for support is a lot easier because, you know, you have strength in numbers. You have all 50 states are sitting there filed. Then all of a sudden it's, you know, it's a blow of the bugle to say, you know what, it's time to take the country.
But Jim, I have to interrupt you. Law doesn't work like that. There's already been a filing in West Virginia. You have to have the outcome of that, and to get another state that the particular case that's filed in West Virginia is somehow be out there, or it has to be a yay or a nay, where it's already been a filing. You can't file it in another state until there's an outcome with this.
But there's not going to be an outcome in Virginia because it's a stalemate, and that's the whole point. You're trying to get to a point where you bring them to, you know, not necessarily maybe bring them to the knees, but it forces the issue nationwide. You know, and that's what gets coverage in the press, and then you get major media involved, and it's all of a sudden it's like, okay, in the 50 states, these paperwork have been filed.
Jim, you're being scrambled.
No. Sorry.
No, I see what you're saying, Jim, but I'm going to have to default with Colleen there.
Okay.
Look, wait. By the time you can get the people together, you're into September. And you haven't even had a chance to give them 30 days to answer, and it's already over.
Can you guys hear me?
Right.
Can I be heard?
This is yeah, we can hear you.
Unfortunately, oh. Alicia, we can hear you.
Well, okay. I know I'm always the problem. My personal humble opinion, you guys, is that West Virginia's got it done. They've got it done. okay, to try to teach this to everybody with the little bit of time that we have is just overwhelming. So what my opinion is, we all get behind West Virginia in, you know, like you're saying, in math. That's what we have to concentrate on and get the enforcement. But we've got to keep it at West Virginia because they're the ones that got the job done right now. They're the only ones that have it done. We don't have time from here to September for what they're planning on doing to get the rest of the states going.
Hang on, everybody. This is your host, Steve. Alicia, that's already done. The call has gone out. The priority and all the concentration is going on West Virginia. There's people
correct.
Nationwide that are dropping projects now to make West Virginia the priority. So what you're suggesting is already done. So
okay,
going back to Greg Todd's question about communication, since a lot of us are going to be in West Virginia, we can sit down together face to face. So then we don't have to worry about the, except maybe some electronic surveillance in the area, but you don't have to worry about monitored phone calls if we're all face-to-face. And what I would suggest is that groups across the country, instead of everyone feeling as though they would necessarily have to go to West Virginia, at least assign one person to go and represent your group and get behind that person to get there. Because everyone knows that resources are slim, and everyone across the country is calling for their own events, and it just depletes the resources that people have if they try to get to these different things. So it could be very advisable to pick somebody to send and represent your group, you know, if different numbers of people can't afford to get there.
Well, let's put it this way. It needs to laser focus. There should be no other event on anyone's calendar at this point.
Correct.
Well,
correct.
I mean, on our calendar, that's true. But when you look across the country, it's unbelievable that people don't even look at what else is going on. They just say, oh, let's have an event then. And they
send them a copy of this call. Send them my phone number. Do it quickly. Because there are odd things all around me. So do it quickly, because once you lose my voice, you've lost quite a bit. And as a matter of fact, if you lose my voice, you've really lost the crux of the entire complaint, which is three felonies.
All right, the kidnappings.
Steve, this is Leonard from California. Are you referring to the protest on the 24th of August?
No, I didn't even know about that one.
Well, let me make it clear. That is something that a signatory to this complaint is doing that is completely separate from this complaint.
Hang on a second, Thomas. So, Leonard, you mean the 24th that was called for by Phil then?
Correct. That's correct. I'm asking if you're referring to the gathering of the people you were talking about getting together to go for that?
Yeah. Exactly, because
we're all
planning to be there.
To me, I don't know how to really say this. I don't think that's going to be the important one.
Well, I'm just saying, they're fine.
I think that we need to concentrate on the enforcement of the citizens' arrest. Heck with that 24th protest. We need to concentrate on the enforcement of the citizens' arrest for their default and dishonor and treason that they perpetrated, period.
Well, that can be done along with the 24th, though. So the more events you have, the more you split people's resources. That's when you start losing people.
And I have nothing against Phil. Phil is a friend that would die for me, and I would die for him. But that is completely separate from this complaint and any action that would be taken. That is a civil protest, a peaceful protest, as he has called for, and that's all it is. It has nothing to do with the complaint or any action to be taken upon it for it. So I want to make sure that's clear to the people, because I don't want them to confuse that date with a date of anything else. because there is no date, and there would be no date set over a phone line. Nothing will be effectuated over a phone line. It will all be mouth to ear in person.
And it could possibly be that date. I mean, you know.
It could be that date. It could be before. It could be after. It could never happen. We'll see.
Well, we're going to make that happen. It's not an option for it not to happen.
I have passed my commission of plenipotentiary on to Gene Stallnecker. And so technically, if something does happen to me, Gene can carry it on in my name. That was done immediately upon the initial filing. He has the wedding copy. The court has a copy. And so technically, Gene can carry it on. But I'm not sure how long Gene and Phil could carry it on without being able to have someone with as much knowledge as I do in law there at least to guide them slightly. I'm not saying they're stupid, but, you know, I've studied law. That is what I do. And so it is imperative that this gets done ASAP. I'm trying to secure other things and trying to do many things here, but, you know, at some point with what's been done here, those in power do realize what I've done, and I'm glad they know what I did. I would sign it and do it all over again, but we are
rapidly running out of time. We can't lose that, what you've got. We have to make sure that this has to get done. There's no option here because this is it, guys. I mean,
no, we just said that.
I know.
Let's talk about a secure way that the appropriate individuals on this call can get together. Tom, you mentioned Jitsi. Should we get with
Jitsi? Is about as secure as you can get now, but I won't attest that it's 100% secure, but it is about the most secure right now that I've found through my.
Well, that's the conversation I think we should start getting into is a manner of how we can do this face to face, because being 3,000 miles away, that's a little impossible to do at this point, if you know what I mean.
Right.
I fully understand what you're saying. I'm checking to see if I've got the right website here so you can look at the software. It's open source, and my friends that are very technical in nature, some may call them anonymous, some may not. This is what they currently use.
I got a question. What about, is there any way, like Skype, maybe, something like that?
Skype is about as secure as this phone line right now. Jitsi is the alternative to Skype. It is JITSI.org. It is open source, so these anonymous friends that are everywhere yet nowhere do keep checking to make sure there are no back doors in it. And as far as I know, there are still no back doors. It is encrypted by default. It is voice, chat, and video. It's not very heavy on a computer, so even something as late as Windows 7 could still run it a few years old without lagging the computer out too much. To talk over the airwaves, that is probably the most secure you'll find at this point. But I can't attest to that it's 100% secure.
What about start page email?
Well, any email is dead in the tracks, unless you were to be able to use the encryption and have the key to unlock on both ends. And even then, an email is a very slow way of going back and forth, whereas Jitsi is live and in real time.
Yeah. You got to take a risk somewhere.
I've already taken the risk. I filed it.
So did I. Hey, I already had one house blown up on me.
You know, at this point, you know, I'm here right now. I'll assist anybody that I can. My phone number, my address is public. It is on each complaint and every filing. And I prefer to do things in person if possible. But I would utilize Jitsi if necessary.
Sounds good. Sounds very good. Something is better than nothing.
Correct.
Jitsi is so far apart.
So then maybe that's what we should all consider then. Maybe go to Jitsi.org, get
right.
yourself set up. And maybe on this is for Steve for suggestions.
Right.
Maybe you could arrange it on your on the next call. Maybe on like next Thursday, which if you want, maybe it'd be better to because of this necessity that we're in. Maybe we could even do that on an earlier call. You think would work. And maybe we can test the Jitsi for the first time just to see that everybody's on and how it works. And then we can start getting into our business at that point because we've got to arrange for this enforcement now. We can't be screwing around. Time's out.
Right.
That's it.
Amen.
It's got to be done. And I'm going to push my ass off to get this done.
This is Colleen Oliver again. I just got a message in from the Canadian Army. They are moving blockades this week to get ready for the civil unrest to happen for September 1st. They are moving. They have 1,000 men setting up heavy metal items across the border. They're starting with Idaho and Montana. Banks are subject to crash in September. Welcome to the New World Order. Sorry to give you this news, kid, but it's happening now. That's my message.
Are you saying the Canadians are going to cross the border?
And the Canadians aren't crossing the border. We're all part of the New World Order right now. We are now a mirror as of the TPP.
Well,
that's
all fiction, sweetheart. That's all fiction.
But you don't know that, Leonard. We don't know that.
Go ahead.
Comment.
All right, go ahead.
We live in Idaho.
We're just a corporation.
Let me explain something to you. 2 weeks ago, Brad was doing some intel work at a service station, a chemical station in Samuels. At that time, there was an exercise going on with Homeland Security and FEMA, a big convoy going back up in the mountains. But that wasn't what he found. He found an army van over there taking on fuel. He went and talked to the dude in the military. He was with a helicopter wing, but they just got put down on the Canadian-Idaho border, okay? They are building up something good. We also got word that some Canadian troops have moved in, but we don't know where they're at, in Montana or in Glacier, okay? This came down 2 weeks ago on the pipeline.
Okay,
so Colleen,
just to clarify, I wasn't saying what you were saying was a fiction. I'm saying the TPP and all that stuff is a fiction.
Well, RC,
and the New World Order is a fiction.
The RCMP is Homeland Security in Canada. I don't know if you're aware of that or not.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, that's exactly what they are. The conditions in Canada are the same conditions that we have here right now.
The conditions are the same in every country, whether you realize it or not.
Well, I'm just talking about our Canadian neighbors, okay? I'm not talking about anywhere else, okay? I know I talk to Italy and everywhere else in the country, too, and I'm just as much in jeopardy as a lot of the other folks out there, okay?
I've had one
house blown out from under me.
You can shelve the attitude with me because I don't need it.
Saying that what she is saying is the truth.
I'm not going to deny it because I've been saying it for a year through my Vatican sources. I've already known what's coming. And
what she just said, factual. Trust me.
Okay. So that confirms that we need a civil authority on the soil of America to direct the military.
Right.
That confirms
that fact. Do it.
It could be done at, we went and saved, or some of us went and saved the Bundy Ranch after he lost.
I know about the Bundy Ranch. I did a two-hour audio on it. I know all about
it. Okay. So there's no reason that this can't be done rapidly here. It was done rapidly at Bundy.
There's no reason.
Right.
Excuses are like assholes. Everybody has one.
Don't forget, there are about 15,000 oath keepers in the city of Las Vegas standing by, too.
Sir, can you not talk so loud? Can you please not talk so loud? Because you're not coming across very clearly.
So, you know, let me make it quite clear one last time. The only thing I'm focused on is getting a civil authority. I don't care where it's at. The only problem is I don't see anywhere else that has the standing or the authority to actually do it right now. And so the laser focus needs to be on getting a civil authority up, period.
Yes.
We need to be able to get a military in order.
That is an absolute. That's what we have to do.
And you already have a state, so go ahead and do it. We join on to their constitution.
Leonard, that website you said was gypsy.org. Is that correct? G-Y-P-S-Y?
No,
I just tried to get...
No, no, J-I-T-S-I.
J-I-T-S-I.
I'm sorry? Say it again?
J-I-T-S-I.org.
Oh, okay. Thanks. Okay.
So does anyone else have any solution-oriented comments? Questions?
I would just go on with West Virginia, put the Constitution together, put the new oath together, and I'll get people to sign it. That's all.
All right. Amen. Will do.
That's the only question we got.
I have one question.
Okay.
Is this action, because I came in late, I'm actually here kind of as a proxy for somebody else to evaluate what's going on. But I do have a question. Is this going to be based on a state, or are we trying to reinvigorate the federal government here? Is this
No, I don't care about the federal government. The federal government.
No, we'll thank you upon the state of West Virginia.
That makes sense to me because, in my opinion, the federal government has ceased to exist as a civil war. We haven't had a federal government.
It never existed in the capacity or standing that the Patriots wish it did.
That's right. It's a corporation. It's a corporation. We're not part of it.
I'm glad to hear that.
All you need is a civil authority. The civil authority could be as lowly as a mayor's office. Just it has to be a civil authority, constitutionally compliant, operating on the soil.
That's all.
Not in the sea.
Yeah. Let's do it, brother. Let's do it.
Well, couldn't it be a sheriff?
No. What sheriff can you trust?
None. I have a serious issue with law enforcement in general.
All right, we all have serious problems with law enforcement.
It has to be an executive, an executive level.
And how do you do that, Thomas? What constitutes that?
An executive would be a mayor, a governor. Let's see, here at the county level here, we've got a commission, so that may be applicable in a way as the executive branch. But it's got to be an executive branch.
You have to have a leader.
Well, you could call it that, but I hate to call it that because they're actually all servants.
Yes, I understand that. What I'm saying is that there has to be some direction. There has to be some. In other words, if you're going to be directing the forces of the, well, whatever we want to call the forces, because we're trying to restore sovereignty to the republic. Or actually, I write a blog, commonsensetome.com, and I've been increasingly moving back to the Declaration of Independence as my basis.
Oh, yeah.
to go
well,
back
to. Well, you can move back to it, but realize that there were double agents on it, and so technically it is invalid.
Well, there's two sentences in it, though, that make perfect sense to me from a natural law perspective, and that's that our rights come from the Creator.
Correct.
And that government is only instituted to secure our natural rights.
Correct.
And those are the only two sentences, quite frankly. Well, that in the first paragraph, which spells out that the laws of nature and nature's God, it shows that it's the foundation of American law. So
that is the yes, that is where it emanates from.
So to me, that is the foundation. The first paragraph and the first, well, actually, the second paragraph pretty much spells out our right, our natural right, not our government-given right, but natural right to abolish government and reinstitute it in a form that protects and allows us to pursue our happiness.
In the future, you could keep a government if you remove the judiciary from the government structure, by the way.
Yeah, I'm all for that. I'm at the point now, because I used to be a staunch constitutionalist, and I have the more I've learned about gentlemen like Alexander Hamilton and the real actions of John Adams and the other Federalists, the less inclined I am to be so blatantly in favor of it. In other words, I'm interested in restoring our liberty and our sovereignty, and however we have to do that.
It can be done very easily and very simply, but it requires action and no longer talk.
Yes,
that's what I'm trying to effectuate.
And I respect you for doing it.
This is Matt from Philadelphia. I apologize. I had to step off for a short bit, and I may have missed this. Has someone been delegated or authorized to begin the rewriting of this declaration or the new constitution?
It's going to be individual, so there's no need for that.
Under the law of necessity,
there is a need.
It could be done on behalf of the entire nation, but to keep it secure for future generations, it would be need to be done on an individual basis.
I just learned something tonight, Thomas. I didn't hear that from you before. I apologize.
No problem. The law of necessity makes things that may not be lawful. And
correct. Okay.
Sometimes you must do things that yep. you wouldn't normally do for the time being.
Gotcha.
You know, it would be great to have everyone do it immediately. Of course, if you join the charter for the Court of Record as we've designed it here, you are giving your Declaration of Independence and Freedom individually. And of course, that could be recorded and brought forward by anybody. But we're working under the laws of necessity at this point, I think. I don't think there's any other way to do it. And we've actually invoked them lawfully here rather than just legally or at the whim. We've actually got a lawful foundation to use the law of necessity. And it's probably the best foundation you'll find at this point in time.
That silence is golden, isn't it, Tom?
It's a beautiful, beautiful sound in my ears. Then again, I've heard it for 5 years from the County of Wood, so I've gotten used to it.
Well, you finally got them locked down, though, bro.
There's nowhere to go now.
And that's what we got to get the people to understand. It's already... You can poke a fork into it. It's done for West Virginia. It is totally done.
Well, it's done for the entire American Republic.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, California they're still writing. Well, of course they are in West Virginia, too, because they're, but I'm talking about having them in default and dishonor lawfully. That's the big part of it. None of the other ones are quite there yet.
That
this may be a catalyst. This may be a catalyst now. That's in, I learned something from Colleen up there in New England there, saying that once this case goes through, which is it's never going to be heard. We all have to realize that case is never going to be heard. It's going to have to be enforced.
Well, it'll never be heard in their venue, but we have a venue that it can be heard in.
Right.
That's true.
Can be rendered in a superior jurisdiction and venue and law form, compliant with the laws of nature and nature's creator.
That's where...
I would love to see the face on those, on the people in New Hampshire that are doing the filing of these cases. When this comes down from a real lawful court, from a court of record, you know, that'll be something very interesting to see if what they're going to do.
So, Thomas, this is your host again. So are you saying that you have your court of record in place already? Because earlier I thought...
I'm not going to place anybody in danger by signing that document until enforcement is effectuated.
So we got to get on Jitsi first.
That's what I think, Steve. Yeah.
For those that are too far to travel to in person, yes, but in person is always the best.
Right.
And okay. I would feel somewhat comfortable on Jitsi. Somewhat comfortable.
But if somebody's finally on there that I can talk to, I've had it installed for years. I haven't. Nobody seems to want to use encryption anymore.
Okay, so Thomas, what we should do then is tentatively set a time for people that can meet face to face in West Virginia, and have the others communicate with us while we're there using Jitsi.
That sounds good.
Thomas,
can you explain that Jitsi again, please? Because I'm not really following it. How, if there's, if
I know you're blind. You can't see it.
It's not secure. How can that one be?
It is encrypted by default, and it is open source.
So, but how, I'm not following that. I get what you're saying. I understand that, but how can
open source,
others out that you don't want in?
Well, that you have to accept them.
Okay. I got you. But I mean, last time I checked into this call, there were 25 people. And if there's someone that's just lingering in the background that shouldn't be, and they sign into this Jitsi, I mean, how are you going to control who gets in and who doesn't?
That would have to be on someone saying that they test to that person.
That's right. That'd be the only way. So everybody's got to know everybody, or somebody's got to know, like, you know me.
Correct.
So... All right.
That's just like my people. I know who they are. I know what they're about, and I know what they do, and I know that they're patriots, and they'll defend everything we do, okay? And I don't worry about them one bit. And we're scattered, but the idea is we are all brothers and sisters, and we got to work it out. And tonight, I heard a good game plan on the oath, on everything else, on West Virginia. I buy it. That's it. Love y'all. Bye.
Okay, so this Jitsi that we're going to be getting onto here directly, and then you're going to have some that are going to be meeting face-to-face. This is only going to be a discussion for dates and times and plans of action. Am I correct in assuming?
On the enforcement side, yeah.
That's what I'm talking about, without trying to spill out too many beans here.
Right.
Okay, then, because I want to make that clear. When I said we're 3,000 miles away, that doesn't mean that we're not going to be face-to-face eventually. That's what I wanted to say.
Exactly.
And I just 110 pounds of beans for my chickens, and I don't want to spill any of them.
This is Jim in Florida. Hey, Tom, you know, if you had the wish list, realistically speaking, what are you looking at for a number? For enforcement, you know, if you had your...
wish list?
Yeah, you know, if you had a
thousand.
Oh, you don't want to know my wish list.
I was just talking about a number for enforcement. You know, what are we...
I mean, my wish list would be enough to remove the entire state structure and every county government all at the same time in one fell swoop, but that's my wish list. Reality-based, you're looking at state police heavily armed, county sheriffs heavily armed, probably looking at the capability of 1,000 within an hour, maybe a little more.
Okay. Okay. I just, you know, I'm just trying to get a wrap my mind around a number, so I guess I've got the goals.
Are you saying, Tom, defending against the sheriffs, or did you say with the sheriffs?
No. What I'm saying is that capability could be utilized by foreign agents within an hour.
It's not, in other words, it's not going to be a cakewalk.
No matter where you go.
Yeah.
They're circling their wagons because they know the people know what they're doing now.
Well, that's fine and dandy. It's got to be done.
Incidentally, I was up in the Flathead. It's been since last year that I was up in the Flathead in Montana, and I knew of reports of foreign troops around the Eureka, Montana area, actually specifically to the northwest of the area along the Canadian border. So there are foreign troops massing and have been massing equipment and other assets in the area of the Canadian border along the northern Idaho and Montana, northwest Montana area. I know that for a fact.
This is Diane Miller. I have friends there, patriots in Canada, and I just asked them, and they said they weren't aware of it. How do you know it? Are you sure?
Well... There have been armored trains that have gone through the Kalispell and through Columbia Falls.
Yeah.
And there are eyes on the ground that have seen them go through. There's an increase of rotary aircraft at Glacier National International Airport. There's a lot of signs that there is a heightened military presence in the Flathead. Now, the reports that I had when I was in Kalispell and in Columbia Falls were secondhand reports from Columbia Falls. I wasn't up in the Tobacco Valley or up in that area. But I got enough of them from people that I found reasonable, and there's militia in the Flathead.
Yeah.
So there's activity going on in northwest Montana, and it's not a good thing. Now, most of it, the discovery of the foreign troops to the northwest of Eureka were done by hikers, and there's been hikers that have actually been reported missing in the area as well. But and they believe that they don't know for a fact, but they believe that it's a Russian. But they don't know for a fact. But there's just been too many reports in the Flathead in that region.
Well, you know, that's very, very interesting there, sir, because I don't know whether you all know it or not, but that is the stomping grounds for the founder of the Oath Keepers, Stuart Rhodes, and I haven't heard a peep out of him in regards to any of this.
Uh-huh.
So what's that going to tell you?
Well,
uh-huh.
I think we need to touch base with him again.
I've had my issues with Mr. Rhodes in the past.
That is my point.
Not with him specifically, but with his group Well, it was 2013, actually. I got into it with the admins on their national Facebook group because they were allowing and stating that they allowed Muslims in the Oath Keepers. And I raised the argument that since they practiced taqiyya and it was permissible in their religion to lie to the infidels, how can anybody reasonably expect Muslims to be Oath Keepers?
No, you can't.
And they threw me, and well, they didn't throw me off. I actually left. I got tired of arguing with them. They incorporated under federal statutes that required them, in my opinion. I don't know this for a fact, but the only thing that makes sense to me is that they incorporated in such a way that they couldn't discriminate based on religion.
Correct.
And so therefore, and when I discovered that that was going on, I really, quite frankly, didn't want anything more to do with the Oath Keepers. That told me that they
They certainly had a thing against the First Amendment, speaking of rights. They would not let people exercise their First Amendment there, if you want to call that a right.
Well, it's a natural, well, the First Amendment, I'm sure that you know.
I'm talking about the Oath Keepers right. In general. They restricted right. Your right to speak.
Correct.
In many, many cases, many situations.
Oh, yeah. No, you, yeah. Definitely.
But it is a private corporation. They probably have the right to do that, but I just don't think that they're setting a very good example when they exercise such blatant violations, in my opinion. You know what I mean?
Well, what I have to ask, and I've been asking, is what oath are they keeping? Because you can make an oath to a barn door. You know what I'm saying?
That's a good point. That's a very good point, sir. That is an extremely good point.
So what, because I was at an Oath Keeper function here in Southern California, and on the back of their shirts, it lists the military oath, which is that they swear to support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that is not the Constitution that I'm loyal to. I'm loyal to the Constitution for the United States, and so I started
of America,
asking,
of America, on the end
right,
of it.
Right, correct. But they don't want. Most of them, I don't even think understand the distinction that they've sworn an oath to the district. They've sworn an oath to the District of Columbia, and to the oligarchy that controls the world.
This is your host, Steve. We actually covered this way back, probably within about half an hour of the call starting. So we're on board with that. Let's get back to solutions. Talking about the Oath Keepers isn't a solution that's going to get us anywhere tonight.
I agree.
Can I ask a question? This is Matt from Arizona.
Sure, Matt.
Do you know if Congressman Zinke is on board in Montana?
He's
on board with what?
With the good side?
He's a foreign agent.
Okay. He was the next SEAL Team 6 commander.
Foreign
agent. I don't trust anyone in the federal government, personally.
Okay.
Anyone.
Okay.
I don't mean to be a prick. I'm only stating the truth.
No, I don't view it that way at all. I was raised on the south side of Chicago. It would take a lot more.
I'm from Detroit. Right. How's that?
High five, dude. Hey, I'm from Detroit.
Well, there you go. Who's this?
I'm Thomas Mick. But I live in Southern California right now.
My name's Leonard, and I live in Southern California, too. Boy, what a small world there, buddy.
This is Steve. I'm from Detroit, too, but I'm in the thumb of Michigan now.
Oh, right on.
Detroit is a great place to be from.
Well, it used to be, anyway. It used to be. All right, so, guys, let's get back on the solutions here, because time is running on, and people, I know everyone works long hours, so probably a lot of people are going to be working after this call is over. So anyone left with a solution, comment, or question?
Well, Steve, do you have an idea on a date for our next emergency call to set up this Jitsi? Let's start there. We can get people on the call to agree to a quick follow-up meeting.
Yeah,
This is Eileen, and I cannot get it, or I'm spelling it wrong or something.
We'll get you straight on that after this, but let's see. The best thing would be, let's see, with today being Thursday, I mean, sometime over the weekend, at least
that'd be fabulous.
We could get together and at least decide when the face-to-face and Jitsi meeting will be. So that's what we'll do. We'll just communicate with each other and try to figure some sort of time when the actual meeting would take place, and we'll just get together with each other between now and the weekend and just hash over different ideas on the meeting, the time, and what people are actually going to be able to do, whether they can come in or are going to have to be on Jitsi.
Are you hungry?
So that anything else out there?
So you're pretty sure about that site then? That'd be an okay place for us to do everything? It's Brad up in North Idaho.
It's never 100% guaranteed, and I'm not an IT guy, and I don't think anybody on this call is. I don't know if there's somebody we can consult with or not, but that might be a good idea to try to, get with several
people. Well, maybe we could try and practice one and just see how it goes with the connectivity and all that stuff. How would that
happen? Gentlemen, this is Matthew out of Philadelphia. I do, in fact, have someone that could be very advantageous to us in that.
All right, Matt. So who is that? Who is that? And then when do we bring him on board, or when do we ask him questions?
I will reach out to him personally. He's not he's a very cautious individual.
Right. Understood.
A very what individual?
Cautious.
Oh.
Yeah.
Steve, do you have everybody's email address that are on this call right now, or how are we going to get that? Because you know.
What you want to do is send an email to me at stevegronka@me.com.
Gotcha. Okay.
So that's S-T-E-V-E, G as in girl, R-O-N as in Nancy, K-A, @me. So that's M as in Mark, E as in Edward. I'm an Applehead. So stevegronka@me.com.
Okay. Perfect. I'll send you an email with my email.
I wonder if you're even on my friends list. Are you on Facebook, Steve?
Yes.
I think everybody needs to send him the email, their email address. We need to have a list of that. That's very important, I think.
Right.
Steve, you already do have mine.
Yeah.
Now, should we maybe start right now discussing the vetting process for the people that are going to be involved with this? How are we going to go about that? Tom mentioned we got to get verification from people that we know. That's fine, but we have to make sure that we do that quite efficiently,
Right.
Didn't Judy have a record of stuff?
Oh, you mean the list of the phone numbers and Judy was calling everybody to get emails, but couldn't, a fair number of people she couldn't even reach to get their email. So that's why I'm trying to get everyone to send their an email to me so we can get a good composite list of the email addresses.
Okay.
How do you spell
your last name again? I didn't catch all of it. Steve Bronka, you said?
It's G as in girl, R O N as in Nancy K A.
Oh, okay, Gronka. Okay.
Correct.
All right. G R O N K A.
You got mine, right? This is Matt from Arizona.
Yeah, Matt, I have yours.
I also sent an email out asking about that Jitsi thing to a dear friend of mine that was, how would you say, quite a ways up in the military at communication. And I'll also let you know the feedback that I get from him as well.
Sounds good.
Well, listen, God bless you guys. Have a good evening.
Amen. Is there any other key questions or comments before we check off this call?
This is Dorothy Hill from New York, Long Island.
Oh, Dorothy.
Everyone. I just going to be very quick in my comments. Susan Price invited me, so thank you. I'm working with a team of researchers, given my background in money laundering investigations and organized crime syndicates. I work for Goldman Sachs in 5 countries, as well as McKinsey. We're working on some very large federal investigations of crime syndicates that run from Maine all the way down to Florida, across into Texas, Nebraska, et cetera. $95 billion child porn, money laundering through the banks, sex trafficking, and other crimes. Not at liberty to discuss more right now, but we will be breaking quite a few stories. Fox News, Bill O'Reilly lives in my town. I probably will be speaking with him or his producers over the next few weeks. But anything that I can do to help in terms of speaking to the New York Assembly, raising awareness, going to the mainstream press to help, you know, get these stories distributed, just let me know.
All right. Will do. Appreciate the help. So anyone else?
This is Alicia. I want to know who the Matt is that – oh, be quiet. Huh? The Matt is that lives in Arizona, please, because I live in Arizona as well. Matt, are you still on here?
I think he just left, sweetheart.
Yeah.
Okay. I got to talk to him.
I'll let you know, though, because we have the phone list.
Okay, so, cool.
Yeah, I can.
Is there anyone on this call who's in the Philadelphia area?
Basically me. I'm just south of Philly, down around Wilmington, Delaware.
I know where you are.
Yeah. Oh, Matt. Okay. I didn't know that was you.
Steve, I just sent you my information. This is Alicia, so I just sent it off to you.
Okay, I just saw it on my screen here. Thanks.
Yeah, I can't
I'll get you
until
mic.
The call's done. My
yeah,
phone is
mic.
My internet.
There you go.
All right, sports fans, I guess that covers it. Thomas, thank you very much. God bless you.
Okay, everybody. Good night.
I guess he might have left already. To everyone else, thanks for being on the call, and we'll get the security stuff going by the weekend.
Sounds
here.
Great. Take
thanks,
care,
everybody.
Bye now.
All right, everyone. Good night.
Or something.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
Eileen, I'll call you.
Goodbye.